Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Whiskey Congress is back in session. Stephen and I are together in the Cleveland studio, and there's a hell of a lot going on this week, so unless you got a personal tale to tell, let's jump into it.
Nope, man, all good, ready to go.
All right, before we get into domestic stuff, four hostages were rescued by these Israeli forces in Gaza at the cost of a whole bunch of other lives, and I don't know how to keep score on that.
Yeah, it's hard because we don't know exactly the number of people that were, you know, like wounded or killed. I mean, the Hamas is saying that IDF killed like 200 people, but that's Hamas saying it, so we don't know what the exact numbers are. Are they less than that? Probably, but it's still probably a substantial number.
Right.
It's probably more than 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5. Right.
Right.
I mean, it's probably something in, you know, 50, 100, something along those lines. Could be 200. I don't know.
But, right.
You know, there's video and images of what looks to be a number of innocent people that were killed in order to rescue these four hostages. And so, you know, you continue with the issues that this war really sort of brings to light is, you know, Israel has a right to defend itself. Hamas is a bad group, but Israel, in the act of defending itself and going after Hamas, Israel is being very indiscriminate on how they go about it. And, you know, if you're just being objective and talking about this like a sane person and not trying to push a narrative one way or another, you know, whether it's because of your political beliefs or your sociological ideologies or whatever they may be, just looking at this objectively, standing back, you know, it raises issues, right?
Yeah.
It raises issues because, yes, good, you got the hostages, but you got four innocent people back who were taken on October 7th at that music festival, but you killed how many innocent people to rescue these four?
I don't want to jump in. We don't know that they were innocent.
Well, that's the other thing. We don't know that they were innocent, and obviously most, you know, if you support Israel or if you're an Israeli that's over there, whatever, you're going to say that none of them are innocent because they've all been raised from birth to hate Jews. And if they're not terrorists now, they will be later, so it's all fine, right? Like, and that's a very much an oversimplification of the thought process over there, but, you know, like, that, those are the types of arguments that are put forth when defending Israel's actions there, you know, because first Israel's going to say we didn't kill that many people, and then they'll say we did what we had to do to get our people back and to eradicate Hamas. Right. And I don't, there's no, based off of everything we know, I again, I've said this many times, there's not a right answer, right? Because, you know, Israel's going to continue to go down the path that they're going, which means they want to eradicate Hamas. And if that means some innocent Palestinians get killed, then so be it. And Hamas is going to continue to put innocent people in harm's way, hiding amongst innocent people. They have kidnapped people. They could release the hostages at any time, but they, you know, refuse to do so. You know, so, I mean, it's just, it's a awful situation.
And another ceasefire was put out there, and Hamas said, we won't sign a ceasefire unless we agree, there's an agreement that this is a permanent end to this conflict. And Israel said, we won't sign a peace agreement until Hamas is eradicated. It's like, okay, so those are two things that can't coexist.
Right, it seems like we are not going to get an agreement on that, which, I mean, I think that's, you know, I mean, Hamas knows that Israel isn't going to agree to the permanent ceasefire, and Israel really doesn't give a shit what anybody thinks. They're just going to eradicate Hamas.
Right, right. And you mentioned October 7th. I understand why there is such a strong reaction, but there should also be some level of respect for life, and
right.
you can't claim the good guy role.
Some form of restraint, right. I mean, and then, you know, the American argument was, if they killed 3,000 people over here, what would we do? And look, that's a solid right. argument, but at the same time, it's like, but I still think that I would be calling that we not kill, you know, we kill as few innocent people or non-combatants as possible.
In our case, it's, and we should not bomb a country that had nothing to do with the killing of our 3,000 people.
Yes, yes. I mean,
that's not a
right. I mean, right. Like, in the, there's, like I've said in the past, there's plenty of blood on American hands, plenty of blood on U.S. military hands, and so on and so forth. I get that, but I mean, at some point, like, are we just supposed to co-sign any and all?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I just at some
you're
point,
you're bad. You're bad too. Okay, that doesn't mean you're not bad.
Right.
I did the whole Harvey Weinstein, Bill Cosby thing the other day. Like, one calls the other a rapist, and then one says, so are you. Okay, you're both fucking rapists. It's 2 weeks in a row, I believe.
Yeah. I'm not sure where we... I mean, I guess, were they both saying it from a jail cell? Like, I don't know.
Well, I don't think they have adjoining cells. It was a hypothetical, Steve.
Although Bill...
Actually, I think they're both technically...
Cosby's not in a jail cell. I don't know.
I don't think Weinstein is either. His New York verdict was overturned.
I don't want to talk about Harvey Weinstein
or Bill Cosby.
God, he's so gross.
Oh, yeah, he is. All right, moving back to domestic talk, or sort of domestic. Biden was in Normandy for the D-Day Memorial. I can't help but point out that he did an interview in the very cemetery that Trump refused to go to because it was, in his words, full of losers. I've given up on reason because everyone who says they back Trump, they back the military, they back the blue, and that guy shits all over both of them when it's convenient anyway, and the needle doesn't move. So we're in a post-reality world.
Yeah, I mean, to me it's like, why, like, we know where Trump is on this. He's a guy who talks about history. He talks about history all the time. It's usually not accurate, right. And it's bent to his, you know, the most favorable position for him. I think it's just, let's just talk about what Biden was doing while he was there, what he did, right? Like, because there's just no
point. He actually gave a really good speech.
Yeah, he did. And I think with Biden, you know, people talk about the age and slowing down and everything. Like, certain situations like this are, he's still good at, right, when he's got time to prepare and, sure. you know, he's got the written statement and he's not being bombarded with questions and he's just kind of giving a speech, then he's fine, you know.
Sure.
It's more of the sort of on-the-fly, you know, sort of sure. stuff where he stumbles and where, you know, any president is going to stumble, I think, at times, is usually with, quick, you know, media questions
right.
and then, you know, having to think on their feet quickly. You know, and I mean, if you think about the job, right, like, you got a lot of shit going on at any given time, 24 hours a day, you know, so having to stop, clear your head so that you can answer a question accurately, look, it's going to... You know, I think there were times when Trump got tripped up and people would make a big deal about it. I'm like, come on. Like, anybody in that position is going to, they're not going to say exactly, they're not always going to articulate things the way you want them to. Like, you know, an Obama was a unique sort of person in that situation because he's so thoughtful. He's not going to rush his thoughts. He's going to take the time
right.
to try to say the right thing. You know, Clinton was that way, George W. Bush wanted to be that way, but even when he took the time to think,
it didn't always
come out great.
He was terrible.
But, he did give a good speech. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of the focus, though, was on, you know, his meeting with Zelensky, where he apologized for the money being held up, and he pledged another $200 million to Ukraine in their defense. Biden also this week approved the use of U.S. weapons given to Ukraine
oh, yes.
by the U.S. He approved the use of those weapons in Russia, which is huge.
Right.
And if you think about it, this was late. You probably should have done this much earlier. And now some people are saying, why didn't he do this from the get-go? Now, why he didn't do it from the get-go is not that hard to figure out. You don't want to, like, if you don't want to get involved in this war, you don't want to give Russia a reason to say you're involved. And so if you give Ukraine weapons that the Ukrainians are using in Russia against them, then Russia can make the tangent connection between your weapons are hitting their ground, their soil, whatever, so now you're involved. But at the same time, like, this war has gone on much longer than anybody thought that it would, and so now it's, Ukraine needs the help. It's not going well for them. They're running out of munitions and arms and bodies and everything else, and so if they're going to survive this, they need to be able to, a perfect example is, all right, we can shoot down a missile that comes over the border from Russia with U.S. weapons, but we can't then, if we know where that missile comes from and it's on the other side, we can't shoot the source of that missile or rocket or whatever that's coming. And so now they can use U.S. weapons to do that. Now, France and I believe Germany and a few other countries had previously made that approval, right? Now, Russia is not happy with it, and Russia is doing the saber-rattling thing. They're like, well, if the U.S. is going to arm our enemies against us to fight on our home, then we're going to start arming U.S. enemies, right? And everyone's like, oh, my God. And it's like, bitch, you're already doing that. Like, you've been doing that above board, below board, black market, right in everybody's face. Come on, like, what type of threat is that? You're already doing that, right? I mean, like, okay. But nonetheless, it's still an important move that was made by Biden. It was likely the right move. I think the timing is the big question. Why now? Why not earlier? And Biden is going to is probably going to say what I just said, right? Or he did say. But at the same time, it's, okay. But if you're making that decision now, like, what's changed? A year ago, 2 years ago, when you could have made the same, you could have made the same thing. Like, nothing has changed on this. So now we're willing to accept whatever we weren't willing to accept a year ago, 18 months ago. Why?
And I'm obviously going to be speculating, but it could be because we didn't think it was going to go this long. You've lasted this long. And we're like, you know what? You made it to this point. We want to see you pull. We didn't think you had a chance of pulling through. So why take the risk to, our national safety when this isn't going to last? And now it's like, you've hung in this long. We want to see you finish it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's speculation, but it's pretty reasonable speculation, I think.
Right.
And so Biden also signed an executive order to deal with the border situation, which I find this to be a perfect encapsulation of how fucked up our politics are right now, because there was a bipartisan agreement to do essentially the same thing. Lindsey Graham, among other Republicans, said, this is the best deal we're ever going to get. Let's do this. It would have overwhelming support in the Senate. I think it was like 70-30 or something in that range.
Yeah.
And it never got on the House floor because Trump killed it. And the reason for killing it was, I mean, I'm saying Trump killed it.
Killed it via Mike Johnson.
Right. But the logic was, the president doesn't need us for this. He could just do it by executive order. So then he does it by executive order, and they said, why did you do this sooner? And Biden had the perfect response. He said, I tried to go through Congress for this, which is what he's supposed to fucking do, but Congress doesn't want to be responsible for anything right now. They just want to get their sound bites on YouTube, and it just shows how broken our system is and how you're never going to make that side happy.
Here's the thing. You're not wrong. But at the same time, I have the same timing question for Biden that I do for Biden on this issue as I do with the Biden on the Ukraine issue, right? You knew a while ago that you, no matter what you did, unless it was exactly what the GOP side wanted, right? Like, exactly their bill. Like, and to be fair, I think it's HB2. If it wasn't going to be exactly what was in HB2, which was the Republican border bill,
right?
Which basically shut the border down, nobody comes across, build a wall, all that stuff. If you weren't going to do that, then you weren't going to get GOP support behind it. You knew that. Right. And you can't, we can't play the, well, fuck that. You know,
they had, it passed the Senate though.
And it didn't even get on the House floor. Right. So you mean to tell me that we got all these people in Washington and no one knew that that wasn't going to get off the House floor? I knew it wasn't going to get, hell, my 9-year-old knew it wasn't going to get off the House floor a year ago. Right. So
Okay, fine.
So what I'm saying is, right, this whole thing, well, you know, well, I'm just going through the process, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's been a fatal misstep for him, I believe, in this presidency, right? You should have done this via an executive order a year ago, if not more. And the reason why is that the border is a problem. It's not, like, the Republicans are using it and for political fodder, right? But because the Republicans are using it for political fodder, Democrats are just saying, yeah, well, no, it's not an issue. I don't care because, right? Right?
I'm not sure you're saying...
No. Like, what I'm saying is, up until now, right now, all of a sudden, because they need to get, Democrats need to get their candidate, Joe Biden, back in office, right? And we're, you know, a few months away from the election in November, we're addressing the issue now. Right, like we're making a big deal. Like the border is so important. You've been in office for 4 years, bro.
Fine.
Okay, but again, you've been in office for 4 years. The border has been a problem for 10, 20, 15, 20 years, whatever. Right, like this is something. Like remember, he came in and Kamala Harris was going to be in charge of the border, and then they got a border czar and all that other, and nothing happened on the border.
That's fair.
Nothing.
That is fair.
Right, and so now all of a sudden, at the 12th hour. You're going to jump in and it's like, oh, we tried to get the bill through, but the Republicans won't let us get it through. So now I guess we have to do it through executive order. Oh, and it just happens to be June and we have an election in November. So now we're doing it because it's so important and it's so critical. It's been important and it's been critical, right? Like if you couldn't get something done on this back 18 months ago, 2 years ago, then this executive order is at least a year late.
Okay, fine. But again, I'm going to push back at the lack of accountability in Congress because...
We get it, okay?
Okay, like, well, but I get what you're saying.
You've got Marjorie Taylor Greene and all the dipshits in Congress. They've been there.
True.
We've known that they're idiots.
Yes.
Right? Okay, so all this... Well, we just are going to show you how dumb they are. See how dumb they are? Now we're going
to... No. I'm saying hypocritical.
Okay, fine. Hypocritical. It doesn't matter. Okay, but like because everyone in Washington, right, on Biden's side agrees with you. They do agree with you, right? And I hope that you feel validated because I'm not being shitty because their argument is your argument exactly. And I'm telling every one of you to fuck off. You fucked this up. You fumbled this because if you cared, if the border actually fucking mattered, then you would have done something about it when it was at a critical point, right? When the Border Patrol was telling you, like, we are fucking drowning over here. We need help. We literally had the guy, the head of Border Patrol or of ICE or whatever was like, we need help. He's been begging for help for the last 8 years.
Well,
right,
you,
going back and no, like,
and you're right. It's more like 10 or 15, maybe more than that.
Right, but I mean, like, they've been
especially bad lately.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, and you've got these horror stories of what's going on down there. Right, so you should you needed to do something. Right, even the bipartisan bill that everyone was so excited about, that was this year. That was in the last 6 months. This border has been an issue well beyond that in this presidency. Right, so the idea that you're going to wait because you want to expose the hypocrisy of Congress.
No, that's not what I said.
Then what are you saying?
I'm saying they tried to do it the right way, which involves
Congress. They tried to do the white way at the last hour. This is his fourth year, Jim.
Right.
He's been in office for 4 years. So now all of a sudden this bill comes out of nowhere. When did that bill come to be a thing? In March of 2024?
I don't know. I think it was before that.
Okay, February.
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know.
It wasn't in 2023.
Okay, I thought it was.
It wasn't, right? Okay. Like, so, I mean, like, this thing comes in 2024, the same year that we have an election. Like, that, come on. Like, now, let's at least agree with me on that.
Okay, and the one thing I will say, and this is validating your point, is the move that Democrats have failed to make time and again, and honestly, this is something that George Bush did, which I hated at the time and still hate the way he did it, but... he was good at saying, fuck you, I'm just doing this. Now, that does defeat the way our system was designed by the founding fathers that everyone says they love so much and completely ignore, but there should be more, Democrats should have more balls and just say,
yes,
we're trying to do this, you're not helping, fuck you, we're doing.
Like, is the border an issue or not? If it is an issue, then you need to address it, and you can't just ignore it because, like, just because the Republicans are making a big deal about it, and you want to try to...
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean?
You're like, playing politics with it when it should be just, we're right. going to do our job. And this is the most bipartisan thing ever, because politics comes before actually helping people by both parties. But yeah, I'll agree with the fact that if they had just said, fuck you, we're getting something done, get on board, or tell me why you're not.
Even strategically... Even strategically...
Politically strategically?
Yes, okay. Even okay. Just politically... Even if we're talking about political strategy.
All right.
Then if it's me, I'm going to take that tool away from the Republicans. Right? Because the Republicans are talking about the border. That's what Trump... That was one big thing that Trump ran on.
Yeah.
Right? That's the reason why...
By the way, he didn't.
That's the reason why Biden comes in talking about Kamala Harris is going to be in charge of the border and we're going to have a border czar. Right? By the way, does anybody even remember who the fuck the border czar became? Who they put into that position? Right? Because that was a whole big deal. No, I don't. I don't. Right? And that's my point. Like, it was a lot of talk early and then absolutely nothing, right, until 2024... Which happens to be the same year that Biden needs to get reelected.
Right. And again, this is going to feed your narrative, but both sides have been using the, we've got a problem, we're going to we appointed a czar. We've got a drug czar. We've got this czar. First of all, let's not use the word czar, because if you know where that term comes from, it's Russian dictator.
Right. Or, I mean, if you're going to have a czar in that position, then it needs to be someone that is doing something that is noticeable. Right, that is, you know, kicking ass and taking names,
right.
And you put someone in a position that it like has literally done nothing, right? I mean, it just, you know, and look, it hits home because, you know, there was just a personal thing that involved, you know, fentanyl that, you know, was quickly traced back to coming across the border, right? And it's again. I can't tell you that if Biden does something, you know, a year ago, then that, does that prevent the incident that I had to deal with personally from happening? I don't know, but maybe.
Right.
Right, and we know how fucking dangerous this shit is, right? Just talking about fentanyl, not even getting into the human trafficking, not even getting into the overcrowding and overpopulation and all the people just coming, flooding over into the border, right? Like, we want to be able to help people, but at the same time, we need to do it in some sort of a managed fashion. We need to be able to check who's coming through. We need to have some sort of accountability for the people coming over the border. We need that process to be streamlined and better and more efficient and more effective, right? We need more drug screening capabilities. We need more technology. We need more social workers and lawyers and doctors and everything else, right? There's a lot of shit that goes into it that needs to be done. And, like, what we're seeing happening at the border now, the shit isn't new. It's
right.
been there.
And, you know, this is good. I hope this comes out right. But we've talked in the past about all the stems through, well, America has quite an appetite for drugs. The cartels are really good at selling those drugs. And they will find a way to get them over the border. You know, a lot of the stuff does come through seaports and has nothing to do with the border. But that notwithstanding, just because there's bigger problems elsewhere doesn't mean you don't solve, you know,
right.
the little one. But I want to say that fentanyl really doesn't apply to this because very few people are trying to use fentanyl. Fentanyl is being added to other drugs because it gets you high quick. That's why.
How does fentanyl not apply?
Because it's not like people are saying, I want marijuana, give me marijuana, I'll pay you for it. Fentanyl is being used as an additive by drug
The drug dealers.
Yeah. Oh, okay, fine. The drug dealers. What I'm saying, there's no.
I mean, there's still a demand for it, just because it's not Joe Blow, right? Well,
yeah. Great choice. Great choice. It's exactly
right,
Joe Blow.
But exactly. But I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, just because it's not the end user demanding it, you still have a conduit for it.
Sure.
Right?
Yep,
I mean,
true.
Like, so, and it matters. And it is coming across the border. It's killing people. It's highly addictive. People are getting caught with it. They're getting arrested. They're getting crazy sentences for it. And the sentences, like, look, because we know how bad fentanyl is. And so if you get caught with it, sorry, I there's nothing I can do for you. I can't help you. I'm sorry. You should have made better choices. you know, you get busted with weed, I'll fight the fight for you, but you get busted with fentanyl, see you later, good luck. You know, and so I think fentanyl is very much a part of this conversation.
I'm not, I wasn't saying it's not part of the conversation. I'm saying it's the reason and how it's getting smuggled is very different. It's much smaller in volume, and that's because it's so potent. And the issue is,
I mean, it's still being smuggled right across the border along with everything else that's coming across the border, and it can come from other places, right? Like you said, it could come from the ports. Some of it comes from Canada, right? Like, we know how it comes in. It could be
manufactured in the U.S.
Right, but again, if it's coming, anything that's coming across the border, anything that's happening at the border that we can stem the tide of, that we can slow down, that we could stop, we need to do it.
Sure.
Right?
And what I was trying to say before is, just because it may not be, let's say it's 50% coming from here and 25 and 10, even if it's 5% coming across the border, it's still worth stopping.
Yes.
You know, if you're bleeding in 10 spots, stop the major ones, put more effort on the major ones, but that doesn't mean I want you to let my nose bleed through my face.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know why I use that expression. But okay, so fine. The criticism may be fair, but he finally did something. If your political expediency, sure, that's not...
And what I'm saying, it's going to be a problem for him because this is the other reason why I have an issue with the timing. You've let Republicans rail and use the border for so long, right, that no matter what you did at this point, at this late in the game, they're going to be able to use it against you.
And they are.
Right, because now it's, why didn't you do it earlier, right? And why didn't you do this, and why didn't you do it, like, right? Like, you, and again, you should have tried to neuter them on this topic earlier. Right? Like, if it's me, I'm going to go in and I'm going to say one of the first things that we're going to do is attack and address the border with a show of force. And the reason why is to take that out of the ammunition against me as president, right? Like, look, sure, we're going to work on all these other social policies, right? All these other things that you want, Democrats and everything else, but we got to shut these guys the fuck up. Also, we have a real problem with this and we need to address it, right? And so you attack it. Right, but by letting it just linger like this, you haven't solved the problem. You've let more people get trafficked over the border. You've let more drugs get trafficked over the border. You've taxed the shit out of your border patrol and everyone else who's working down there. You stretched them way too thin for way too long, right? And now you're doing it. So I'm sure there's people for border patrol and ICE and everything else that are looking at this like, yeah, I guess, thanks, whatever. Right? Like, cool, man.
I already drowned, but you threw me a life ring.
Right, exactly. You know, I mean, so, I mean, yeah, good job. And we're going to pat him on the back for doing this. Congratulations. But I'm just saying the criticism is, you know, it's, I don't know if it's enough. So I don't want to say too little. It's something, which is better than nothing, but it's definitely too late. You know, we got to get this needs to be signed. It needs to be put into place. I think the numbers are already at a point where they could stop, you know, the granting asylum, and they can stop doing all that stuff, and they can stop the flow for a little while and figure out how to make these processes more efficient, get some things implemented so that once you do open it back up, you can have a better way of doing all this. But the timing's not great. And guess what? We got an election in November, right? This stuff isn't maybe you can instantly kind of close the doors, right, and stop things and try to start to work on figuring out a process to deal with this once you open them back up. But is that going to happen before we actually vote?
I mean, probably not. And to me, as I'm thinking this through, putting this on ICE and the Border Patrol is fair. That's their job. But we also have a National Guard. So I do not want U.S. troops lined up at the border unless absolutely necessary, because that just sends a message of,
I mean, but that's not what the executive order. That's not.
No, it doesn't. Executive order. Your solution is, if these guys are overtaxed, we have a National Guard. We have alternative resources. Whenever you talk about putting American boots on American soil, I guess, you know, if someone was to invade us, that's what I'd want them to do. But typically, we do not conduct military actions on our soil. Unless we are, well, we typically don't do it. Typically, that's why we have the National Guard. I know you are, but I don't know.
But at no point did I say anything about
bringing the National Guard on. This is not directed to you.
But in some of the, and again, a lot of the issues that I'm talking about, again, with as it relates to human trafficking and drug trafficking and all that other stuff, that's a technology issue, right? Like, sure. You need better technology to be able to help the people that you already have down there to be able to identify it, see it, whether it's x-ray or heat, you know, dogs, whatever you need. Although dogs aren't technology, but you get what I'm saying.
Actually, they kind of are.
Right, like, you need, right, like you just the resources you need, like working, like thinking about what you already have in place, right, and then providing additional resources to that to help them, right, then getting more bodies, getting more people in the Border Patrol, getting them trained, which is hard to do, but it's going to be hard to do if you're under-resourced and you're already stretched thin, right? Like, so you have to funnel resources into this, and then if you need National Guard to backstop, you don't necessarily have to line them up with M4s and put them on the border and say, don't move your heels and shoot anything that crosses. Right, you can use the National Guard in different ways to help with this process to take some of the pressure off. You know, I mean, I've got people who work for Border Patrol who have done rotations down there, and they're just like, look, it is nonstop. It beats the shit out of you, and half the time you are alone out there with, you know, it's you and a 4x4, you know, a gun, a flashlight, and a bottle of water for miles and miles and miles, and you got limited options.
Sure.
If you've got a gang of 100 people coming through.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and so those are the sort of things that we need to be looking at and addressing. And so if we've got National Guard filling in to help alleviate some of that, then so be it.
And that neither you nor I are experts in border security and how to,
apparently, nobody in this fucking country.
I was about to say, somebody should be.
Because, I mean, I'm feeling like I could step in that job and do about as good as anybody, whoever the fuck is doing it right now.
What we're saying right now seems to make more sense than what's actually happening. And we're two guys doing a podcast. We're more than that, but that's what we're doing now.
We are more than that.
All right, I want to move on to the Hunter Biden trial, because I'm finding this fascinating in the sense that... So what I've been paying attention to, it, everything obviously is not televised, so I had to listen to, you know, in reporters inside the courtroom reporting things, but it's apparently been pretty heart-wrenching. Hunter Biden does not look good. They showed off the laptop thing as much as they could, and showing Hunter Biden getting snorting coke off of whatever, or getting coke snorted off whatever, is not... can't be pleasant to sit through.
Typical Tuesday night, but okay.
Okay, yeah. Or as Steve calls it, Tuesday. But what's fascinating to me is, so if you don't know, he's charged with lying on an application to get a firearm because you have to say you are not addicted to drugs, and he said he was not, and then they're saying, well, you were, so you broke this law. What I learned, and I'm sure you knew this, but many people may not, this is a charge that is almost never used except as an add-on to a bigger case. So... you arrest a drug dealer.
So I'm going to jump in right there. So I got into my legal bag a little bit, just briefly. Can you guess the number of times that this has been prosecuted as the sole and lead charge?
I'm going to guess one.
And that one would be Hunter Biden.
Yes.
It's the only time.
Okay.
Only other time.
I didn't know it was only one, but I was not surprised because it's, yeah, again, it's an add-on.
It's the only time anyone, like someone has pulled an application and said, wait, this guy was definitely on drugs, and so we're going to charge you with this crime. And I think they threw some other stuff, they added on some other stuff, but this is the main charge, and this is what everything is about down in Delaware. So this is the... you know, sort of tit for tat, oh, you went after Trump for a shitty charge, so we're going to go after Hunter Biden with this shitty charge. And it's the same sort of deal. Is he guilty? Yeah, he's guilty, right? Like, the dude was on drugs and he filled out the application. Now, go ahead.
Well, I was like... Tell us
what you know, Perry Mason. Well,
okay, but you're not being smug. They originally tried to go after Joe Biden. You impeach Trump, we're going to impeach you, and then... they got nothing, and they had all this bullshit they tried to spin and went nowhere.
Witnesses and
right. And so then they backed off and said, okay, we got nothing on Joe. We're going after Hunter. And it's red meat for the right, and we've both said this, and I stand by it. Grand scheme, I don't care. But what I do care about is, or I'm curious about is, how are they going to define addict? And when he filled out the form, You know, it's almost like Bill Clinton. It depends on what your definition of is.
It's not.
Well, how can you prove he was addicted at the time he did the form?
When did he go to rehab?
I think 2018, but I could be wrong. I don't.
When did he fill out the form?
Okay, so when you're in rehab, are you an addict?
Yeah.
You want to know why?
You want to know why you're an addict? Because when you're in rehab, you have to acknowledge that you're an addict.
Okay.
You literally have to. You want to know how I know? Because I was fucking in rehab. So if you really want to go down this road and have this fight with me, you can.
I'm not trying to have a fight with you. What I'm saying is,
if you want to have this debate, right? Like, okay. I mean, I get, like everyone wants to put on their legal hat. What I'm telling you, the guy's fucking guilty of this crime, right? Like, okay. if you want to go down factually and you want me to say, well, how is he guilty? I'll tell you exactly how he was guilty, because the motherfucker went to rehab. He acknowledged that he was a fucking addict around the time that he was filling out this application and that he went, right? There were drugs found in his car. There was evidence, right? Like, there's, like, literally video evidence on his fucking computer, right, of his activities around the time that this happened. Right, like, so he was an addict 2 weeks before he did this, and then all of a sudden he wasn't an addict 2 weeks later.
Okay, well, like,
you don't go from being an addict and then not an addict that soon, right? Are you an addict forever? Right, according to AA, when I'm in AA meetings, we acknowledge the fact that we are addicts, which is why we go to AA, to prevent us from doing the shit that got us in trouble before. Right now, to be fair, there is a point where you're no longer using drugs, and by clinical medical definition, right, then you're not going to be put in that addict category anymore, especially if you've had an extended period of time of not using.
Right.
Right, but the issue is he didn't have that extended period of time of not using around the time that he filled this out, and he knew that he was still in that realm of, I could go off and have a bender at any time.
Right.
Right.
Like, well, and the form doesn't say, are you an addict? It says, are you addicted to? And there's a difference, right? Because if you are currently using, you are addicted to. If you've gone to rehab and say, admitted, I'm an addict, okay, but you're an addict in recovery.
There's a difference between an addict and recovery, but if I go on a fucking bender, right?
Right.
I just rip down a couple bottles of whiskey, go snort a bunch of coke, right? Hang out with some strippers, and then I go to rehab and I get out of rehab 30 days later. Right, it's probably not a good idea for me to go grab a gun application, fill it out, right, and then put on there that I don't have a problem, right, that I'm not addicted to whatever, right? That's too close of a window based off of my actions, my behavior, and where I just came from.
You're being reasonable. It's just that people fill out that form all the time.
People do fill out that form all the time, and, right? Now, that's the other part. That's the flip side of this, but this is where I said it with Trump, and I'm going to say it with Hunter Biden, right? You're right. Plenty of people get away with this particular thing every day.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that they didn't violate the law. Doesn't True. Mean that if they were brought up that they wouldn't be found guilty. And look, you go and you make a bunch of noise, you put yourself out there, you put a target on your back, you open yourself up for this type of shit. Right, Hunter Biden frequently used his dad's name, his status, to get himself attention, jobs, money, hookers, blow, everything else. He recorded himself doing drugs. He recorded himself in these sort of situations. We've got pictures. We've got videos. Right, from his laptop, he did it. Right, it wasn't like somebody secretly did it and he didn't know this was going. Like, he can't even do that.
I will never understand why people. He
did it, right? Like, I mean, like, what are we even arguing about here? Like, the only argument here is that no one has ever been charged with this as a standalone charge. But that being said, he's still guilty of it, right? And I'm not really. And listen, Joe Biden is doing the right thing by saying, look, I can't do anything. I'm not going to pardon him. I don't have anything to say about it. My son is a grown-ass man. This is his cross to bear. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I will always love my son. But ain't shit I could do about it. And the one thing I could do, I ain't doing.
Right. And that's...
He's got to say that, right?
Absolutely. And... All right.
Now, look, he loses the election.
He's getting pardoned.
I would pardon that motherfucker
quick.
If he wins, he can.
Why not? He's not running for a re-election.
I wouldn't. And here's the thing. And I honestly, this is why. And this is speaking from a person who went to rehab. Hunter Biden is the is like, you see this guy all the time in meetings and in rehab and everything else. Hunter Biden needs this punch in the face. I'm sorry that it's public. I'm sorry that it's you're caught in the politics that beat your dad, whatever. But you are a spoiled child, and you have acted like it to this point. Only reason the last couple years you've shown any sort of remorse, signs of not being an asshole, is because now finally, like, you someone is holding a microscope to you, right, in the sun, and you're cooking like an ant, and you're dancing, right? You're doing the dance because you don't want to go to jail. You don't want to deal with this, right? But if he truly wants to get his life together, you got to hit your rock bottom, right? And being federally indicted, being found guilty, and going to federal prison for this, it's not like he's going to be in there for forever, right?
Right.
Like, he's going to get, you know, a year or whatever, and then he's going to be forced to go to rehab. I'm sure you don't, right? But I know for damn sure he doesn't.
Sure.
Right? And he needs to bear that cross. Okay. Right? And a lot of people are going to look at me and, how can you say it? I'm like, because I was there, and I had to do it myself, and I've helped other people through where it's just like, look, I'm here to help you, but first you're going to take this L. You're gonna feel every bit of it, so that maybe you can understand. Maybe you have something to hold on to keep you from doing this shit again, right? And you can get your life together, right? That's just speaking from a human perspective.
I remember you telling me some of the stories of the people you were in rehab with, and you were like, "I have a problem. I know I have a problem. I'm gonna fix this problem." But holy fuck, some of the stories you were telling me were just mind blowing.
Right. I mean, it's just like, you know, you got that funny line from Bob Saget. You ever suck dick for crack, right? And then you meet the guy who sucked dick for crack, and you're like, oh okay. Well, no, I haven't. It's unfortunate that you have.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, so from a human perspective, and that's why this one is one where it's just I'm not gonna sit here and try to, you know, finagle the way to make this so that he gets an innocent. Like, I don't think he's one on the human side. Like I said, he needs to take that L. But then, separate from it, even on the political side, he kind of has to be the sacrificial lamb for his dad, right? If we're just talking about what's good for Joe Biden, is to stay away from this. What's good for Joe Biden is a guilty verdict for Hunter, and then Hunter to get a sentence and to serve that sentence. Right. And because then if that happens, then what are the Republicans going to say?
Right.
Right.
That's fair.
You know, like, oh, you weaponized the DOJ. Oh, I weaponized it so much that my son fucking went to jail.
Right.
Like, yep. You know, now they may say, oh, well, you're just a bad dad who doesn't care about his son, but your daughter that you touched in the shower. Right. Like, and again, like, I told you motherfuckers not to hide. Okay. Anyway.
The jury was sent home for the weekend. This will get released on Sunday. I'm guessing we'll have a verdict on Monday. Do we want to predict?
Guilty.
I think it's going to be a hung jury. My prediction. I think there will be one person.
Is that a joke?
No.
Oh.
No, I think there'll be...
I thought that was like a dick joke.
No. All right, we're moving on. I'm not...
I walked you right into it.
But I know you've probably got another word in the chamber, and I'm not going to let you fire it unless you do it.
Sorry.
All right. All right, so if you don't know...
You don't want me to fire my hung dick
see,
joke?
This is why...
I just made that one up on the fly.
It wasn't great. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito was flying an upside-down flag after the Biden presidency was won.
Love this one. This one's fucking hilarious to me.
It's hilarious, but I'm sorry. Well,
it's okay. Like, it's very problematic, right? It's very serious.
Yes.
Very serious.
Yes,
super
very serious. Yes.
Super serial.
This is my serious face.
All right. So, what it stems from is, you know, shortly after January 6th, in order to protest the, you know, people who, you know, were being arrested and everything else, or I forget the timing of this now. But the upside down flag was like, you know, the symbol for MAGA and everybody else. Like, oh,
America's ruined.
Right, America's ruined. Hang the flag upside down, right? So Alito Justice Samuel Alito is flying this upside-down flag over, like, a summer home or whatever, right? And maybe it was their house.
I think it was their house.
Maybe their house, their summer home. Either way, point being, so someone questions Justice Alito about it, and he's like, oh, my wife got into an argument with a neighbor, and so out of spite for the neighbor, she hung the flag upside down.
I love that, too.
Bro, like, that,
but,
like,
by the way, the timing also doesn't work.
Right, like, I'm like... Okay, Sam, come on. Like, that's the best. Like, you are a Supreme Court Justice of the United States, and the best you could come up with was your wife got into a fight with a neighbor over whatever.
I think it was a property line thing or something
right.
of that
so,
nature.
So, in order to get back at the neighbor, she flies an upside-down U.S. flag. Okay. Okay. Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito.
Good to know that you're making decisions that affect
My
the lives
God.
Of every
like,
American.
You can't even come up with a better lie than that. For fuck's sake, what are we doing? Okay.
Yeah. And also, by the way, I'm blaming my wife is the ultimate...
Right, like the ultimate cop-out, right? Like, and that's... okay. Here's the issue that you have, though. He's got a right to free speech.
True. Absolutely true.
So, what are you going to do about it?
You know, in terms of legally, I don't see there's a thing you can
possibly
do about it.
There's not.
But,
I mean, you can wag your finger at him all you want.
Pretty much all you can do is write a sternly written letter and tell him how angry you are.
And look, you should recuse yourself. Well, here's the thing. The justices, the independent individual justice, has the authority to make they're the only ones who can decide if and when they recuse themselves. Right now, if there are enough improprieties, then after review, you could be like, all right, now we got a problem. But that's after the fact, right? Like, so Justice Roberts can't go to Alito and say, "I'm sitting you down. You are recused." Right? That he can't
do that.
Cannot do
that. All right.
He can't.
I guess, and you can't have a situation where the Chief Justice can do that because you could just go, you know what? Now the Supreme Court is one.
Yep.
I recuse you. I mean, it's
you're recused. Dan, you're recused. Dan, you're recused.
But I mean, it. You're right. I mean, I guess the only thing that could happen to him from a procedural perspective is for him to be impeached. Right? You can impeach a Supreme. I'm not saying it's going to happen or should. But right, back to free speech.
Right.
You can't. You can
look. And to be clear, guys, I get why this is a problem, right? Like, joke about the reasoning behind it, which is so ridiculous. But like, look, if he's aligning himself with, you know, MAGA and the January 6th people and everything else, like, now some people are like, that's treason, right? Like, no, it's not. Like, this isn't.
If he stormed the Capitol,
right? I mean, you know, just. It's
yes.
hilarious
that,
image.
That image would get you.
Right, Samuel Alito starts. Okay. But
him in Braveheart paint.
Yeah. Right. Him and Jacob Chansley or whatever with their face painted. The buffalo hat.
Oh my god.
Not
even
head. Yeah, I mean, I just.
Him taking a shit on the floor.
He was the one flinging shit around Nancy Pelosi's office.
That would be hilarious.
You bitch.
DNA to test to prove it was your shit. All right.
Salito's just shitting everywhere. I took extra Metamucil today.
But yeah, you're right. We're making fun of it, and it's hard not to.
It's not. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. Like, we live in such a ridiculous time. But
yes.
Point being is that there's not much that you could do. Like, you want to drag him in front of Congress, he ain't going to show up, and you can't do anything about it.
Right.
Like, we put the Supreme, we isolated them in a way, right, so that we couldn't manipulate them a number of different ways, but then now we're kind of stuck with this, right? Like, the justices went rogue, and now there's shit we could do about it, right, is the reality
right.
of the situation,
yep.
right? Like, so now, like, unless a couple of them drop dead very, very quickly, and we
right.
get them replaced very, very quickly... There's like
legit nothing you can do.
There's
about
nothing
it.
You can do about it,
and that's by design. That's
and this, you know what this goes back to?
Go ahead.
Mitch McConnell
oh,
told
well.
You what not to do to prevent this very thing. He told you. He said, "Look, y'all don't want to do the supermajority stuff. Y'all don't want to do this. I'm telling you, because once I get to do what I want to do, you're gonna have a tough time undoing it." right? And then they did the thing, right? And then he goes in, and then, you know, Scalia dies, and then he's like, yeah, how about
we're not gonna.
How about we just don't do anything? Right. Fuck you, fuck Merrick Garland. We're just gonna do it my way, right? Like you should have. Okay. Like it, look.
I'm glad you brought that around because we're just saying right. There's no procedural thing, but.
You like, and the reason why I bring that up, right, is because you look at the makeup of your Supreme Court at this juncture, and, you know, your conservative justices now feel emboldened because clearly. They've got the numbers.
Well, 6-3, basically, right?
Right. They've got the numbers, and there's really no one to hold into account. Roberts basically seems like he's been neutered. And he's not really stepping up. It doesn't seem like he's being all that forceful with them. And he's just like, look, there's not a whole lot that I can do. There's not right. a whole lot you can do. And this is kind of what we're stuck with. And now, you know, you're just like, well, how did, like, because if you just think about how I'll say the progressive side has misstepped along this way, going back to Ruth Bader Ginsburg not retiring. And then, you know, it ends up allowing Trump to get another one, right? Like, so you look at all these things over the last 10 or 15 years that have taken place that are now coming back to haunt you in a major way. You know, now look, there was nothing that we could do. There's nothing that the DNC or anybody could do about Ruth Bader Ginsburg just refusing to retire.
Right.
Right. But then, you know, I guarantee you, if you could bring her back right now, she may look back and say, yeah, maybe let's turn back the clock, and how about I just step down, and then we allow somebody to replace me.
I bet you're correct.
You know,
but
I mean,
we talked about it with senators and other, you know, members of
Mitch
members.
McConnell himself. I was about to say, Mitch McConnell himself is literally pausing on live TV. They have to take him for factory reset multiple times, right? Like, Mitch, you got to retire, bro. You know, I mean,
hard to let go of that power, though.
Yeah, I mean, what's her name? Out in California,
Feinstein.
Yeah, Feinstein. Right, like she should have retired. Absolutely. 10 years ago. Right, I mean, but again, like that greed and hunger and everything else, the refusal to let it go, right? That arrogance that I'm the only one who can do this right, and literally until I die, right? It has literally hamstrung. The Democrats in a lot of different ways, from the Supreme Court to Congress to Senate, and they're paying a price for that arrogance right now.
Right, and I've never heard this said, but I'm sure it has been. The other aspect that never gets talked about is, in addition to not being able to let go of power and prestige, these people also get a whole lot of money on the side. Because of the position they hold.
Bro, but they could still, like, look, you can still go and make bank. Well, write your books, have your speech.
I'm talking about bribes.
I mean, in terms of
influencing policy, once Mitch McConnell steps down.
Yeah, but a lot of that money, it's not like it's going directly to their bank accounts, right? Most of them are smart. No, you've got some of the idiots. You got Menendez, right, who just, with his gold bars, right? Like, and I'm still annoyed that he's still a senator.
Fair.
Shame on the Democrats for not getting rid of his ass.
Agreed.
You know, his trial is going on.
In his case, they actually could do something.
Right.
Right. Because you can't remove a Supreme Court justice because you don't like them. So the Senate could expel Menendez, right. And the Democrats should have said, "Hey, Bob, you're a great guy to go to the, you know, corner pub with. Love talking to you about the New Jersey Devils winning the Stanley Cup." But
appreciate your advice on where to get gold bars.
Exactly. How heavy are they? I'd like to know, but you got to go. But one person who was called in front of Congress and didn't go is now going to jail. Steve Bannon is about to begin a 4-month jail sentence in July. I believe July 1st is when he has to report. And he's out there pumping the fist. Trump's doing the rallies, talking about political persecution. So that's become the theme is... The Justice Department has been weaponized. These evil Democrats, these evil liberals, he used the word vermin, by the way, which that word sets off a little, you know, ooh, that's Hitlerish. But, you know, that's become what everything is, and it's working with their base. I can tell you that because I talk to them.
Well, I mean, it's easy you know, this is PR 101, right? Take the, you know, take the bad publicity and turn it into good, right? So, all right, it's bad that I'm going to jail, but I'm also Steve Bannon and I'm rich as fuck, so this doesn't really impact
right.
me, right? And I'm not going to, like, jail. I'll go to some, you know...
We play tennis with...
Yeah, you're going to go to Club Fed, and he'll do his 4 months, or whatever. If he even does a full 4 months, he'll get out, and then he'll just be even louder.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, I did this for right. you. I did this yep. for the common man. Like, I'm fighting for you. Look what they did. If they right. could do it to me, and I'll tell you, you know, with my connections and everything else, like, if they could do it to me, they could do it to you. Now, he won't talk about how rich he is.
No,
that
he
part
not.
He'll leave off when he's out of prison, and they whisk him away to... probation, and they
he'll
end
be right
up,
back in trip. And if he'll, Trump like, wins, he'll be in the cabinet.
He's going to be on house arrest on a house yacht somewhere off the coast of Maldives or some shit like that. But either way, you know, well, actually, he'll have to go through the whole program and all that other shit after. But I'm sure, whatever. Either way, they're going to use this to their advantage, right? So I mean, like, yeah, he's going to jail.
They
I guess
are
but,
using it to their advantage,
right? But like. Like, what does it even matter? Like, he's going to go and like, we'll be able to look, hey, Steve
yep,
Bannon,
yep,
federal prisoner, right? Like, I saw online that a guy was on a plane, and he had a shirt, right, that said something about Biden being old, right? Like, you could choose between old guy, right, and then it had, like, a circle behind it, by it, and then, you know, convicted felon with, you know, the circle, you know, filled in. Right, and that's what the shirt the guy was wearing. He's wearing it on a plane with his chest sticking out, sitting down, like trying to make eye contact with people and looking at his shirt like, hey, look at the shirt that I'm wearing. I'm going to vote for Trump.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
yeah.
just like, and these people are like, so this doesn't even matter, right? Like, you still have to do it, right? Like, you still have to, you know, Bannon violated the law, right? And well, then he right. got his day in court. And well, then he appealed it.
No, but that doesn't mean, right. He refused to appear, so there's no trial, there's no nothing, if I understand correctly. It's just like, you need to appear, you're not going to do it. This is a contempt charge, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, not trying to...
But, I mean, like just following the process, I think there was a trial.
You know what, there has to be some
right.
court action.
Right, there's got
to
be due process.
Well, but a judge can just say you're in contempt, or Congress can say you're in contempt, can't they?
Yeah, but if you violate contempt, like, then you get charged with it. There's a warrant.
Okay.
There's, like,
okay.
a whole due process.
I just know that Joe Pesci went straight to jail, didn't have any.
Remember he tried to appeal the decision?
Joe Pesci?
Else? No.
My cousin Vinny?
Jesus Christ. No, Steve Bannon.
Okay. I'm still on Joe Pesci. All right.
What the fuck does Joe Pesci have to do with this?
In
My Cousin Vinny.
Vinny.
Yeah.
Okay. You're in contempt. Oh, there's a fucking surprise. What'd you say? What'd I say? All right. We got to wrap this up pretty soon. We've been talking about the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight a bunch. It was
November
15th.
Yeah.
So first it's going to be canceled and then it's postponed. I'm glad it's not canceled. A whole bunch of folks.
I don't think they ever said they were going to cancel it. Like,
it was media speculation that it was.
I mean, Tyson had an ulcer on a plane. They had to do an emergency landing. I think he had to have emergency surgery. So then it was like, all right, well, are we going to reschedule it or what? And people didn't know. And so. Once we get past speculation, I think they were always going to move. They weren't going to cancel it. There's too much money to be made for
exactly.
it to cancel. Too much money for Netflix. Too much money for Jake Paul and Mike Tyson. It wasn't going to get canceled.
But what I was going to bring up is so many fighters tried to get say, I'll step in for Mike. One of them was Prince Nassim Hamed, who fought at 140 pounds. And it's like, dude, he's probably my age. Maybe a bit younger. And
look,
you're 140 pounds. Everyone wanted a piece of the Jake Paul money, is my point.
Well, Roy Jones Jr. said he would step in, and I wouldn't mind watching that.
That is the only one who could step in that I would have any interest in, short of, say, I don't know.
I wouldn't mind. Like, where's Bernard Hopkins?
Yeah, he's... Well, I guess he's probably about to...
Bernard Hopkins versus Jake Paul? Are you really worried?
I am because I watched Bernard Hopkins' last fight, and he lost in horrific fashion. I'm a huge fan of Bernard Hopkins, but he lost in brutal fashion to a guy I had never heard of before and only heard of once again because I knew that he had a second fight. But also, something I heard that amazed me, the fight that Tyson Fury lost against Usyk, I believe was the guy's last name, was the most pay-per-viewed fight in history.
Okay.
I thought it was interesting because I would have thought it would have been McGregor and Pacquiao or something like that.
Yeah, but we've been down this road before. Access. You got more people who have access, cell phones, tablets, TV, true. Everything.
And also more of an international interest. I mean, yes. Pacquiao and McGregor had international interest, but this guy had Eastern European interest, English interest.
Wait, Pacquiao?
No, sorry. The
Roy Jones Jr.
No. Tyson Fury and Usyk.
Floyd Mayweather and McGregor had interest, right?
Oh, I said Pacquiao. I'm sorry. Yes, I meant Floyd.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, I meant Floyd.
Mayweather and who now?
McGregor.
McGregor. Yes. Jesus Christ.
We're both stumbling right now. But anyway, the fact that this fight had the biggest pay-per-view audience ever, you're right. Access changes everything. If there's more people who can watch it, they will. But I was still surprised that it was because
it shouldn't be. I mean, like the numbers every. We're seeing it now. Like every big fight is now a record breaking, the most ever something fight because there's so many different ways to access this stuff, right? Like before a pay per view event, you had people going to bars and people getting it at home, right? Now you've got people like you could be out on the street last minute and you're like, oh shit, pull a fight up on your phone,
right?
You're sitting there on a plane, pull a fight up on your tablet. Right, or pull a flight up on the TVs on the plane, right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different ways that you can pull these things up and watch them that, like, you've had a lot of interest about this stuff, right? Like, you get a big enough fight. I don't think that you've got increased interest. I think that you've just got more ways for people to access this stuff, which now you're seeing these numbers just go through the roof like crazy,
right.
Which is why the NFL... Right, is going to be using Netflix and like basically every streaming platform for games to open up access, and then they're going to do crazy numbers, which means the next TV deal for the NFL is going to be absurd, and you're probably going to see $300 million salary caps,
which
yay.
I mean, and I want to point out that was it Steven Crowder claiming that NFL?
Oh, was well, it Crowder? After the Kaepernick thing. Right, MAGA went crazy. Oh, the NFL is dying. We're not watching the NFL, and the NFL is going to die. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Really suffered, didn't it?
Right. I mean, just like you guys killed Nike.
That's why we got to get Taylor Swift involved, because without Taylor Swift, the NFL...
Please.
Sorry.
Like, the NFL, like, the numbers the NFL...
If you didn't recognize the sarcasm, I'll talk to you.
Oh, no, I didn't. I mean, you know, it's funny, because even Mark Cuban came out, oh, the NFL's greedy. They're going to... Like, and look, at some point, I guess the NFL will probably... fade back and fade out, and then we'll get it replaced with some softer sport, right? Which is what everybody is hoping for some reason, right? Because everyone so cares about, you know, football players getting concussions. No, you don't. You're just mad that these guys are making money, right? The other sports are mad that these NFL owners are making the money that they're making, right? The average dude sitting at a bar is just pissed that these black guys are making more money than them. It has nothing to do about giving a fuck about concussions. You could name somebody with a concussion. You don't care about Jim McMahon, right? You don't care how Mark Webster died. You don't care about this shit. You just care about the fact that these people are making more money than you. That is it. It's the same reason why if you go up to any of these bars, why do these guys hate the NBA? It's not, because the college game is much better. No, the fuck it's not. You just don't like who's playing in the league and the money that they're making.
The only thing I'm going to argue with you about is most of the people I know that have that attitude don't bother hiding it. Some people will say, like, you know, I don't like this because of concussions. That's not why.
They don't hide it around you. They won't say that shit around me.
Okay, that's fair.
Why is that?
I can't imagine why. I think I told you the story about I'm in Baltimore with Baltimore people around me at a bar. They're like, I don't like Lamar. He makes too much money. I'm like, oh, fuck right off. He's put you guys in the playoffs. He hasn't won you a Super Bowl. And if he does, you'll still be bitching that he makes too much money. And you were equally outraged when Joe Flacco went to the last year of his contract and got all that money after winning the Super Bowl. Oh, wait, no, you weren't.
Right.
All right, man. Anything else before we wrap it up?
No.
That was emphatic. We are at Whiskey Congress on Instagram and X, formerly known as Twitter. I don't know why I keep doing that.
Because it's fun.
It is kind of fun, actually. And that symbol still cracks me up every time I see it. I'm like, who? Anyway, we're done. Thank you for listening.